Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder when I get off the train and deliver an episode to you while I walk home. I'm Brendan Riley. Today on Pick Up and Deliver, I'm going to talk about Martin Wallace. This episode is being produced as part of my, preparation for a rainy day series in which I record a podcast without knowing precisely when it's going to be published. That way, if I have a busy week or something happens or I'm unable to make a podcast, I can slot this one in. So I don't know when you're hearing this, but I'm recording it on February 23rd, 2018. So in a previous episode, I talked about Vlada Shovatil and how much I enjoy his games. I talked about there are four games of his that I own, and I've decided that four is some sort of magic number for me in terms of reflecting an appreciation for a game designer that exceeds the usual. I came by this decision by looking through my game collection and finding that there are obviously lots of games where I have one game by the developer, plenty of games where I have two games by the designers, several, and like a bunch, where I have three games by the designers. But once you get above three, that level drops off dramatically. And so that's the line I'm using. In order to make it into my, whatever, Brendan's Favorite Designer series, I need to own at least four games by that designer. Of course, as I get older and my board game collection continues to grow or mature, I will probably have more people enter that pantheon. But for now, that's what I'm sticking to. Four games to be in my collection. I haven't yet decided how to treat expansions. There's some expansions that are pretty big, like for instance, Vladimir Suchi, who designed Last Will. His Getting Sacked expansion I would consider pretty significant, as would I the Rebellion Rising or whatever it's called, the expansion for Star Wars Rebellion for Corey Konietzka. But there are lots of games that have small expansions, and so I think generally I'm just going to not count expansions as new games. The other question is how to count games in a series. Do I count Pandemic Legacy Season 1 and Pandemic Legacy Season 2 as different games? What about Time Stories? Do I count each segment of Time Stories as a different game, or is that one game with a bunch of chapters? These are unimportant, silly lines to draw and ask questions about, but nonetheless, I am asking the questions because I know that you need to know the answers. Good listener, I'm doing this all for you. Here goes a truck, here goes a car. All that said, today I'm talking about a designer who most clearly fits my Brendan's Favorite Designers series. In fact, he lands as my favorite designer if you're going to go by number of games purchased. You also could go by number of games in my top 50. He wins that. The only one of the sort of categories you might use to decide my favorite designer is that he hasn't crafted my favorite game, my favorite game being Android Netrunner, which could be arguably Richard Garfield or Lucas Letzinger, or to a lesser degree, Damon Stone or Michael Boggs. Those are the four lead developers for the game. But we're not talking about Netrunner today. We're talking about Martin Wallace. The first game of his I encountered was A Study in Emerald. This is a game I backed on Kickstarter because of its theme, actually. I love the Neil Gaiman story. And so I said, hey, I want to check out this game. And it said by legendary game designer Martin Wallace. And I thought, oh, well, if Martin Wallace is a legendary game designer, this game must be great. And it is. It's a really interesting area control game with a small deck building element. Now, I have the first edition, which is a little more bonkers than the second edition. They made a second edition that was published a couple years after the first edition came out. And the second edition streamlines the rules a bit, makes the board look a little more sane, but I like the insanity of it. So there's a couple things I really like about the game. One is the dueling over cards. One of the actions in the game, there are cards on cities on a board. The theme is that you are Victorian era or Edwardian era assassins trying to disrupt the politics of Europe in a world where the politics of Europe is dominated by descendants of Cthulhu and the other elder gods. It's pretty weird. But you play either loyalists who are trying to protect the elder god royalty, or you're playing restorationists who want to restore humankind to its position leading Europe, in which case you're trying to murder these elder gods. You have spies and you're trying to get control of cities. And the area control part is that each city has a stack of cards on it. And instead of trying to control the city, you can try to get one of the cards in the city. And if you succeed in recruiting the card, then you get like a new agent or you get a new weapon or something. But the way that it works is that you get two actions each round, each turn, and you use cards to do those actions. And one of the actions can be putting influence onto one of these cards on the board. But you can never claim a card on the board as your second action. It always has to be your first action, meaning that if someone else has tried to usurp your control, you can't add influence and then claim the card, because you have to do it as your first action. So it's always give someone else an opportunity to fight with you over the card. So that's pretty interesting to me. The other thing that I think is really interesting, is not something I've seen in very many other games, is that everybody's got a secret identity and you're all playing to win. The person with the most points at the end wins. But you win points in different ways depending which team you're on. You're either on the loyalists or the restorationists, and your team changes which how you earn points. But at the beginning of the game, it's secret which team you're on. And so everyone has these sort of hypothetical points until such time as somebody declares that they have met the end condition of the game, in which case everyone reveals their loyalty and then, or their team, and then we count up your real points to see who won. But here's the other trick. First thing we do is count up your real points. Second thing we do is we look at which player is in last place. If whichever player is in last place, their whole team loses, and the leader from the other team is the winner. Now, the only way that that wouldn't happen is if somehow you ended up all on the same team. In a small game, like a three-player game, I think you could all end up as restorationists, in which case then the lead restorationist would win. But the team with the lowest scoring player on it loses, and that's just a really interesting mechanism for me. The rules are not great in this game. There's a lot of little finicky stuff, and really to understand it well, I would have to play it two or three times within a month, and I've never done that. I've played it three or four times total, but I always play it far enough apart that I have to completely relearn it, which is a little frustrating. Honestly, that's true for every Martin Wallace game I have, with the exception of Via Nebula, which we'll talk about a bit later. So another game of Martin Wallace's that I really like, in fact, it's my favorite, is Brass. Or it's one of my favorites. Studying Emerald is my favorite. But Brass is a really compelling economic game. It's really tight, very thinky. It's the game that most strongly develops in me the feeling of I don't have quite enough, which I did a whole podcast about how much I enjoy that feeling. Now, I'm sad to say my copy of Brass is the old copy. They did a Kickstarter. Roxley Games did a Kickstarter for a new edition, which has lovely art, and I almost backed it just because it looks so nice, but I couldn't, it wasn't worth the money to me to have a fancy new version when the old version works just fine. As far as I could tell, there weren't significant changes to the rules of the game. Although now they have two versions of Brass. There's Brass Lancashire, which is the one I have, and then Brass Manchester, which is a sort of sequel to the game. And that one I did not pick up. So that's Brass. I have a few other Martin Wallace games. I have 8 in total. I'm not going to do an in-depth discussion of all of them, but I'll give you a quick overview. I have a couple others that he published while he was running his own company, Tree Frog Games. And those three are Munga Invaders, Mythotopia, and Onward to Venus. He also published A Study in Emerald during his time with Tree Frog. So Munga Invaders, Mythotopia, and Onward to Venus are all really interesting games. Munga Invaders is the weirdest one. The colors are super garish, the graphic design is really weird, the art is not great. But it's a really interesting game about being mad scientists taking over, releasing monsters in the country, and then destroying the city. You earn points by getting rubble onto the board. but you also are controlling the humans who are fighting the other players' monsters. And you have monsters that if you kill the other players' monsters, then you get to take their monsters as trophies. It's a weird game, really interesting. We played it about two-thirds of a game, and then we ran out of time, and we haven't been back to it yet, but it's really interesting. Even the Martin Wallace games that I'm not a super big fan of, they're really interesting. He comes up with weird and unusual mechanisms for managing different kinds of activities that are things that are almost always different than other ones I've seen, even in the context of a game model that exists already. For example, in Mythotopia, Martin Wallace takes the sort of deck building idea of like getting cards and using those cards to do actions and advances it. He did this same idea in Studying Emerald, and then Mythotopia is a later iteration on that same idea. My understanding is A Handful of Stars, which is a game I would enjoy getting at some point, also follows this pattern. I suspect A Handful of Stars I will never be able to get unless I just happen to run across it sometime on sale, but it's not a game that's widely available, and really you had to pre-order it if you wanted to get it. But Mythotopia is great for a lot of reasons. Its downside is the same problem the Studying Emerald had. Its rules are really tricky, and the way that you use cards to do things is kind of confusing. But I really like it, and it was fun. Onward to Venus is an interesting game. It's a licensed game, so it actually is using a comic book that's a sort of Victorian steampunk spacefaring adventure. But it's area control, and it's got a really cool board. All the board pieces are planets, so they're these like circles that you put on the board. And what you're doing is you're gaining economic control of each planet, so you can control the mines and build troops and ships. And then you're also trying to get various kinds of victory points by accomplishing these tokens. But you can fly your ships around the solar system and take over other people's planets. And there's a threat mechanism where you roll these dice every round, and like the people of Mercury might have a revolution, or aliens might show up. There's these weird things that come into play as well. But it's a really interesting game, and I like it quite a bit. So I don't have a lot of time to talk about Via Nebula or The Arrival, but I will say I enjoy them both. The Arrival is an interesting area control game. It's got a really neat economic engine where you put out these two cards, and they show you things you're likely to get, but you don't get to see what exactly you're getting. And then you pick, there's three rows of things you could get. And you pick one of the rows and you block it off. You say, I will not take row two. And then you put out another card, and of those three cards, then you have to choose whether you're gonna not take row one or not take row three. Whichever row you don't take, then you put out one more card, and now you get four cards worth of stuff from the row that you did not block off. It's a really interesting thing. The game also has this flipping score, where there are these, so it takes place in sort of prehistoric Ireland, and you play tribes of humans trying to be in charge of Ireland, but you're also trying to work together to fight off the invasion of the Fae. That's what The Arrival is the Fae showing up and trying to take over everything. But as a chieftain, you can use the Fae to help you fight the other chiefs. But every time you do that, you gain corruption. And there's a certain point at which if there's too much Fae on the board, then the game ends and the person with the least corruption wins. So everybody using corruption would mean the game will end, and the person who used the Fae the least would win. It's a neat mechanism. I really enjoyed the one play of it we had, but I haven't been back to it again. And I think you're probably seeing a pattern here. Via Nebula is probably the Martin Wallace game I've played the most. I think I have five or six plays of it now because it's short. You can play it in an hour. It's easy. It's relatively easy to explain. It's got a kind of resource path building mechanism that's not dissimilar from train games. It just is hidden in a kind of lovely art and fun component cover. And it's relatively short, so it's fun. It's thinky, but too short to be really brain-burning. And then finally, I have the new Osprey Games edition of London, which is supposed to be one of Wallace's best games. And it includes something called poverty cubes, which I don't know what that means, but it sounds amazing. I haven't had a chance to look at that yet. There are two other Martin Wallace games that I know of that I've played that I don't own. The Doctor Who card game, which feels like someone said, "Hey Martin, will you design a Doctor Who card game? And here's some money." And he quickly designed a game. It's got an interesting sort of resource battling element to it, but it could just be shapes. It doesn't need to be Doctor Who in any way. And then Hit Z Road is a weird little zombie game where you're going driving through the United States, and you each round you have to fight zombies. And it's got similar to The Arrival. It's got you decide which things not to take, and you get stuck with taking the worst, or you each person's taking one path and somebody gets stuck taking the worst path, and you're trying to conserve your resources and not get eaten by zombies. Finally, there are three Martin Wallace games that I would like to play that I haven't had the opportunity to. One of them is PI. It's a private investigating game. It's from his Treehouse days. It's mediocrely reviewed, but I'll probably pick it up at some point because of how much I like his games. And I also tend to buy detective games because I teach a detective fiction class. He has a Terry Pratchett-themed game, Discworld, which sounds great. I've heard reviews of it, and it sounds right up my alley. I just haven't had a chance to try it. That's out of print, so I doubt I'll ever get to buy a copy. And finally, he has a new game coming out soon called Australia, which seems to be some sort of area control military game. Frankly, I don't know much about it, but it had Martin Wallace on the box, so I'm interested. Well, so I guess that's a brief survey of my favorite game designer, Martin Wallace. Let me know if I've missed one. He has something like 30 games. I know A Few Acres of Snow is supposed to be very good, although it apparently has one broken strategy, which I have come to understand is called the Halifax Hammer, that kind of ruins the game. If you have other Wallace games that you think are excellent that I should check out, please let me know. Or if you have a favorite from among the list, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at Rattlebox Games or through our website by emailing Brendan at rattleboxgames.com or posting a comment on this episode in our show notes. I'm also a frequent user of BoardGameGeek, where my username is wombat929, and you can post in the guild or the podcast page for this episode and I will see it, or you could send me a geek mail. Well, thanks for listening. I appreciate your taking some time to carouse or enjoy my conversation about Martin Wallace, and I hope that you have enjoyed Martin Wallace games as well. I hope your next walk is as good as mine was. Bye-bye.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.